I mean, listen, we're talking about practice.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
This is KETR's Locker Room, your sports podcast for Northeast Texas. Each week, we look at the biggest headlines in sports and highlight local sports stories. Here's your hosts.
All right, back after somewhat of a vacation, I'm Cooper Welch. We've also got Taylor Phelps in here and Jordan Davis. We're your hosts for KETR's Locker Room. We got a lot planned on this show, as we got to talk about quite a bit of controversial stuff. First, we've got the NFL banning bags and purses that are bigger than a handbag. Next question, should girls be allowed to play male-orientated sports? And then third controversial thing for today, they're talking about pole dancing. Get this, pole dancing becoming an Olympic sport. So we got to talk about that, and then we will do the second segment of the show when we'll talk the Rangers having a great last few games. They're 12-4 in the last 16 games. We'll talk Cowboys and Texans, and then we'll finish off the show with some A&M Commerce chat. So, guys, what do you think of this NFL ban on bags?
I think that NFL players are going to have more to complain about because they already have a lot to complain about now, but the bag situation and purses and stuff, yeah, all well, it is...
Now, that's not on players.
I hope it's not the players' purses.
Is it like for people to come into the
games?
Yeah,
it's just audience members.
Yeah, I read that at first, and I'm like, okay. Are players, is that a new thing? I don't know if Dwayne players Wade or Russell Westbrook started something for the NFL there.
Sorry. It's only on people coming to the games.
Oh, okay, I can see why.
Well, the people that can actually afford the games, I know at Cowboys Stadium, have pretty big bags.
The cheapest tickets are like
$86
now.
Yeah, wow. So I mean...
Maybe they're not trying to have nothing stolen.
Maybe.
But big purses, I mean, banning bags. Wow. I mean, I understand why they're doing it for safety reasons.
And so people have to buy stuff there.
Yeah, that's very
true. Okay.
You can't sneak in
it.
See, Cooper, you got the...
that's the real reason. They say it's terrorism.
The sneaky
stuff.
Mind is the one who thought of... Yeah. You're the one who knows because you're the one probably doing it. So.
Yeah. There you go.
Those people will be pretty furious at this new rule. But but as far as I don't have an issue with it. I'm not carrying the bags. I'm not carrying a purse.
I'm
so
a football game. I'm not worried about a bag. I'm trying to see my favorite team or something.
Yeah, you just want to get to your seat.
Yeah,
get comfortable.
Enjoy it. Because I mean, but for some women, it might be a little. They might be upset because you know some women like big bags. So,
but you know, this is really going to affect the men. Because the men, I know, I go to a movie with a girl or with my mom. Mm. I like that purse.
Yeah.
Because I'm bringing in my candy in that purse. I'm
bringing
in my Cokes.
And now you can't
bring
it.
I don't want to pay three or four.
Now I can't
bring it. So now I got to buy the $12 soda at the stadium.
Yeah, and if you're... I think this really affects the most NFL fans that, you know, like to have a couple beers while they're at the stadium.
Yeah.
Because... You know, you could get a $6-pack pretty cheap, not
Put
more than $8. Yeah. Now, one beer at a stadium is like $8.
Oh, yeah.
And just it's a little 16-ounce bottle.
That's by the time you've paid for the ticket to get in there, you've paid for parking that's 20-something, 30-something dollars.
I think you should nowadays go to a game expecting to spend $30 on food, and that's a good day.
That's food alone. Probably for yourself.
Yeah.
If you have a family, oh, gosh.
Mm-hmm.
And families used to use those purses.
Yeah.
I know from experience.
Yeah.
Use the purse. We'll put all our stuff in mom's purse.
Yes,
and we'll be all right. Yeah, we'll be all right. We'll pay more than half of what we would in the stadium.
Yep.
No, I can't.
And get better food, usually.
Oh, yeah.
I had a Nolan Ryan hot dog when I was at the Rangers game last time. It's terrible.
I want to know if Nolan Ryan has actually tasted his hot dog. Because
I don't know.
I wouldn't want
my name on it.
No, don't
put my name on that hot dog.
I wouldn't. If I was him, I wouldn't want to put it on that hot dog.
Mm-hmm.
If I was him,
I still ate six of them. But
I mean, I'll still eat a hot dog.
I mean, if they're a dollar hot dog day,
that's the cheapest you're gonna find a hot dog at a baseball game anyway.
$1
ever. Well, what do you guys think about it though? You think it's a good idea? You think it's gonna be safe?
I mean, honestly, they're going to have to deal with the women.
Mm. Oh, there's gonna be people mad.
That's what
people are not gonna have to deal with. This purse isn't. I mean, what is the regulations? Do we know the exact stipulations on this?
There is a video that says the exact stipulations, but it says
so probably on the websites of the teams they have. It says
certain bat like clear. You can have a clear bag still, but it can only be like. I don't remember how big. It wasn't very big, like maybe a foot tall.
Women not gonna.
It's
like
such
it.
A judgment call, yeah. And the people that enforce it are usually like me and you. They're just working there, and they're and sometimes when you get mad enough, or you're like, "Come on, man," they're just like, "You know what? Go ahead." So it, I don't think this will affect somewhat.
Yeah,
but it's not gonna make a big difference.
Yeah, and now there's other NFL policies they're doing like. If you buy a ticket on StubHub or Ticketmaster or anything like that, it has to have your name on it, and you have to have an ID with your picture on
now
it.
Now, see,
that's doing too much.
Yeah. They're saying it's preventing people from stealing tickets.
Stealing tickets, yeah. But, I mean, I buy tickets off StubHub and don't have my name on it.
Yeah.
And that's part of what it says on StubHub, that it may not have your name on it, but they guarantee, you know, they guarantee the ticket, basically. StubHub will... you know, work with you or whatever.
Yeah,
but
I think what they're trying to do is kill the different ticket exchanges. Like, they want it to just be, you buy it from us or you don't come to
the
game.
And that's so wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you're buying it from, I'm buying it from you, Cooper, and you say, hey, you want this ticket? Yeah. That's the only way you could get past that because, I mean, even then my name wouldn't be on the ticket. It would still be Cooper Welch. So then what are you going to have? Half the stadium empty? Because I can't go to the game and I can't sell the ticket?
Yeah, I don't
know. You can always go to Jacksonville. They have NFL Network at their games.
That's
so
true.
We're
gonna have it on
all
TV.
The games. Go over there and catch all
those,
the games.
On those, like,
see, why would you pay money to go to the stadium and watch games on TV?
Yeah. Well, what they're saying is, like, they want fans to come to their games, but they're trying to provide that interactive experience. Now, what it really is they want you to come watch a 300-foot-long television at their
Team
is playing.
Everybody's putting up a huge TV. I know at Cowboys Stadium, people would just watch the TV. Now, Houston's got a bigger screen.
Yep.
Now, Jacksonville's got all the games. Yeah. So, why don't people go to it? You know, it's a lot cheaper just to go to a bar.
Yeah.
You can watch all the games you want there.
Or get Madden.
And it's air conditioned. Get that. It's air conditioned.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't have to be around too many rowdy, stupid, drunk people. I mean,
Cowboy Stadium's air-conditioned, too.
Yeah.
But Cowboy Stadium has a lot of drunk, crazy people in the stands.
Yeah,
and at a bar, you're choosing to be around those people.
Yeah, you want to be there.
Yeah. So let's move on to the other topic for today. Should girls be allowed to play male sports? For example, football, baseball, or play boys basketball?
No.
Okay.
This is a good question because Taylor can vouch for me on this.
Yeah.
In the rec, when we play rec ball here and we go to the rec and the basketball girls be playing, other dudes don't like it because they can't play as physical with them because if you hit a girl too hard, it's, oh man, you hit the girl. Like, why'd you do that to her? And then she gets mad and then y'all just arguing. And that happens in the rec right now where the girls' basketball players come in there. They try to play with the boys. The boys play like they play, rough them up. They get mad and it's like, why are you even on here then? Like, go to the other side of the court if you want to play. Like, girls and guys have their emotions and their attitudes. There's a reason why it's boys' sports and girls' sports.
Yeah.
Because guys are used to being physical in every sport. Like, even baseball now is being physical, throwing pitches behind them and throwing pitches at them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you hit a girl or you just playing with a girl and something goes wrong, it's all of a sudden your fault. And the guy feels guilty. So that's why I think girls' football should be established. Like, there's a lot of girls that want to play football. Have them their own little league, let them hit each other. But no, don't put no girl. I don't care if she's a kicker. She is going to get hit.
Yep,
and then you combine the girls and the boys in the locker room. You know how a locker room is. Guys going to be guys. Mm-hmm. Girls are different. Just keep girls and guys separate on a playing field. Just let them each have their own field. That's it.
Right.
Well, we posted the same question on our Facebook page, and I think we did on our Twitter, too.
Yeah.
And we got a response from Josh Harrell.
Who replies to everything.
And he replies to a lot, and we love Josh.
Yeah.
He's
the only one.
He said to this, no, men don't try to play sports with them. Why do they try to play with men? Mm-hmm. I can't stand all that equal opportunity mess. Just like Augusta, that's the Master has played, golf tournament. Just like Augusta being pressured into having a female member.
Condoleezza Rice.
Yeah. So what if they just want men there? That's the tradition. Too bad. Do we agree with Josh? Because I want to hear your response first, and then I'll respond to what you have to say about
now,
this.
I think golf is a bad example because it's not a physical sport. You're not getting hit by other people.
At all.
And women
do have a handicap in golf.
Yeah. Women aren't as, I'm just going to say it, they can't hit the ball as far.
That's just physiologically.
Yeah, but they are still good at golf. There's still a lot of women that are really good at golf. There's some that can compete against men. And I think in that sport, you should have the ability and the chance to compete if you really want to. But in other sports, contact sports, no. It's never. Like wrestling.
Guys, it would never be fair.
Yeah. Guys should never wrestle a girl. That's for one thing, that's just, you know, teenage hormones, all sorts of crap. You don't want a guy wrestling
but
a girl.
But you make the point, too, about, like, golf and a sport maybe like tennis where there's not direct contact.
Although
tennis could be one-sided.
Because tennis is still one-on-one. And guys can serve a heck of a lot faster.
And that's kind of what I want to make my point. Why is this even a question? Yeah, you got a sweet deal, girls. You got your own league. You make nice money. Not telling me Maria Sharapova is not making nice money.
Yep.
Whereas she was competing with men... Mm-hmm. Now, it's going to be a completely different ball game. The only one who can really do it's been Danica Patrick. She's not even successful at it.
At all.
What if Danica Patrick was in a woman's league of NASCAR or was in a woman's league of Indy racing?
And she's not even the best NASCAR
She's not
driver.
Even relevant. Yeah. No, like she's relevant because she's a woman and she was one of the first ones to do it.
Yeah. But although there are other ones.
As far as being successful... Mm-hmm. I mean, that has nothing to do with it.
She wasn't even successful in IndyCar. She had one win in her entire career.
And to be honest, she's been more of a sex symbol than... And it's not her fault. I mean, she's a beautiful woman.
Yeah.
So, of course, she's going to be able to profit from that. But as far as her success from being with the boys, that hasn't come. So if you mingled women's and men's tennis, the majors wouldn't even compete. There would be no... Yeah. The women would never even come close to beating Roger Federer, Novak
and most
Djokovic, Andy Murray.
Wouldn't want to play them anyway, because if they do lose, all of a sudden you're the guy that lost to the girl.
So you got the men's point of view too, and it's just not fair. Yeah. The only thing maybe in a contact sport you could maybe see female kickers in football, but even then,
they'll still get a nudge.
Even then, it would just be field goal.
Yeah,
because there's no way they would be able to tackle any of these guys.
No way.
And that's the only possibility.
Right. Well, I want to talk about this just from like a psychological standpoint. We know that back in like the 40s and the 50s and the 60s, it was all, you know, men are ruling over women, and it was such a misogynistic era where men constantly said, we're better than you, you guys are weak, you can't do anything. And then World War II came along, the men went off to war, women started getting jobs. And suddenly, they realized that they could do a lot of stuff that men could do and that they weren't the weaker sex or anything like that. And I think that's perfectly fair. I think women should have, you know, equal opportunity in the workplace to do whatever they want to. And it's great that women want equal rights. I think that's fair, too. But the problem is that nowadays, instead of it becoming everyone is equal, it's become everyone is the same. And that's two completely different things.
That's super,
because women and men in a corporate business world... You can have women in there because women, they can do better than men in some fields.
Mm-hmm.
But when you talk
about
athletics...
But even then, even when you talk about that, it's not equal. People approach them differently.
Yeah.
That they're treated differently. Yep. And it's not that it's fair. That there's differences in different genders and races, period. It doesn't matter who you are.
I think what the problem is nowadays is that men are being tried and forced into becoming more feminine. They want you to be more in touch with your emotions.
No.
Which it's not the worst thing to know that you have emotions.
I don't want to know I have emotions.
You don't want to suppress
them. Jordan's a little different.
I'm a man.
What I'm saying is you don't want to like just push your emotions in a corner and ignore them. It's good to know them, but you should control them as a man. As a woman, though, you should have emotions. You should be all over that.
Yeah.
But instead, nowadays, they're telling men to be more feminine, use lotion, care about your skin, blah, blah, blah. And they're telling women to be more masculine, to get out there with the boys and rough them up. And that's not what we should do. We should remember that differences should be celebrated.
Yes.
Equal is not the same as the same.
Because athletes are just like, that's their way of letting their emotions out.
Yeah.
Sports.
Yeah.
So, like, if you go out there on a football field and you got somebody like Johnny Manziel that's been going through a lot, he's ready to get back on the football field, throw some passes, get hit, like, get frustration out.
Mm-hmm.
You put a woman out there And what if she makes one of the men mad? She's going to get clocked.
Like, yeah. But even going beyond that, the lines of, like you say, equality and sameness are so blurred right now.
Yeah.
I mean, even when we talk about Johnny Manziel, and he's just a topic of conversation because he's so popular, this guy wants to be a 20-year-old, yeah. and he's not. No yeah. matter how much he wants to be a 20-year-old, he's not. He chose the path of fame mm-hmm. to be the A&M quarterback. Mm-hmm. There's a reason you get the perks that come with that.
Yeah.
There's a reason you get that. You don't get what everyone else gets.
Yeah.
And you get benefits from that, and we get benefits from being a normal college student.
Yeah.
I mean, there's differences between us.
Yeah.
Neither one's better. I mean, you might look at his perks and say, well, I wish I had that. And he looks at some things that other people get, and he wishes he had that too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But you don't get everything, and that's where the equality and sameness is different. We are not all equal in that we are not all the same. Mm-hmm. We should all have equal rights, but we're not the same.
Yeah.
No matter how much you want to make it that way.
Well, let's just use this fence illustration I've seen. If everyone got the same... Like, okay, here's the illustration. The fence is too tall for anyone to see over. Everyone gets the same ladder, same height. But one person is too short to see over the fence if they use the same ladder that someone else uses. So they need, you know, the equal right of having a ladder that lets them see over the fence.
Yeah.
That's what you need. You don't need the same ladder. You need a ladder that helps you achieve yeah. where you
yes,
can achieve.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And if we all have that, then we'll all have a chance. But if we try to make everybody... We can't.
Yeah.
And it's impossible. And that's what you got to leave it at that.
I mean, it's the same in the academics. If everyone was forced to go to college and succeed where everyone else has succeeded, for one thing, it'd be a really boring world if everybody had a 4.0, if everyone went to college.
It would be interesting.
Yeah.
Because it's like, okay, you're smart, I'm smart. What yeah. difference? Like, you don't have no variety in nobody. Everybody's the same.
To quote the Incredibles movie, saying that everyone is special is the same as saying no one is.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly.
So we got to remember to give everyone equal rights, treat them all as equal people, but give them celebrate their differences.
Yeah, because that's what makes sports great now. Mm-hmm. Everybody's differences. Like, you think about it, like, even the worst teams in the NFL – you still watch them because they have different players in the other team.
They might have a really good... In baseball, yeah. that's especially true.
Yes. Yeah.
Because in baseball, yeah. you could have the best player in the league and be the worst team in baseball.
Worst team.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and people still watch you. They still root for you because they know you're a great player. And it's the differences in everyone that makes sports special.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to sound, you know, bad to women, you know, but women needs to be stay in the lane where, who is that? And why are y'all cheering for him? What team is that? What happened? That's what we used to women in sports, yeah. asking questions. Now, when you have women that try to be involved in the sport, it's like, whoa, okay, can you do it against other girls first? If yeah. you can't do it against other girls, what makes you think you can do it with men?
Yeah. Like, and if they whoop up on every single girl out there,
that's
you know,
fine.
We'll give them a chance.
Yeah. yeah. I mean, like Brittany Griner, like, she almost had a chance to hoop with men.
Mm-hmm.
That wouldn't have worked, but
it would have been a nightmare.
Yeah, it would have yeah. been a nightmare. But to other girls, it's like, okay, this is a man. She's mm-hmm. out here hooping like a man. But if you put her against any NBA players, even a scrimmage, she wouldn't score a single bucket, wouldn't get a single rebound. She'll be tossed around.
Yeah.
And then we'll be the ones looking bad because, oh, the man did that to her. No, mm-hmm. she wanted to be a man. Let her be in here.
Exactly. Well, let's finish off the controversial segment today with, get this, pole dancing is going to be, or is petitioning, I should say.
Yeah,
they're not going to be.
Go ahead.
They're petitioning to be an Olympic sport. Now, keep in mind that baseball and wrestling are no longer Olympic sports. They used to be, but they have officially been cut from the Olympic
wow.
sports.
Wow.
So how is pole dancing possibly a sport when baseball and Olympics are not?
Okay, let's go ahead and look at that.
Yes,
baseball and wrestling not being sports.
Okay,
there's 25 core sports. Now, the reason they went down, the wrestling got cut, was because
TV
there were 26. They wanted 25. That was one reason.
Yeah.
And but wrestling's a very competitive sport, and we know that it's one of the original Olympic sports.
Yeah.
To be honest, if it wasn't for wrestling, there wouldn't have been an Olympics.
True.
Yeah.
And wrestling was the big thing that everyone cared about and everyone watched.
And, wrestling and
track. It's not so much anymore. I mean, we still have wrestling here in the U.S.
Yeah.
It has college championships and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But even sports like table tennis and taekwondo
yeah.
are still sailing, volleyball, are still sports that are in the 25 core sports, and wrestling was cut out.
Yeah.
So I don't really understand why wrestling was cut out.
Mm-hmm.
But when we get back
TV
to pole
ratings.
Dancing, yeah, TV ratings.
Gonna be
and it's
for
crazy
pole
to me
too.
That people would rather watch ping pong,
mm-hmm.
aka table tennis, than wrestling.
Or, get this, they'd rather watch that ribbon dancing event.
That
yeah.
is
then,
the
yeah.
gayest thing I've ever seen.
Now, I got to tell you, I watched one of those. I watched the finals of ribbon dancing and ball tossing, whatever, floor gymnastics. It was competitive, and it was cool to watch. But it'd be more like, hey, I'm going to go to Vegas, watch this at a show,
yeah.
not an Olympics.
Yeah, it's not. It's not something like... Like, that's my big thing, and I was able to ask a gymnast mm-hmm. this summer about it at a conference, and I'm like, okay, you know, other sports I understand. I understand scoring points in basketball. I understand getting touchdowns in football. I understand runs in baseball.
Yeah.
How in the world is gymnastics scored?
Mm-hmm.
And she starts explaining it to me, and I'm like, so basically what you're saying to me is gymnastics is just a judge. It's just judged.
It's just opinion.
And
yeah.
It's just an
yeah.
opinion.
Yeah.
Now, they're very detailed sports, and she even said that usually these guys to get certified, to me it's tremendous that they can all usually be exactly on point.
Yeah.
They can usually produce the same score without discussing, so they know the point deductions and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And there's point deductions for every little thing.
Oh, yeah.
So really, the ribbon dancing, even though it's hard to keep up with, when you really know the ins and outs, it's very amazing what they do and the time and effort
yeah.
that they put into making sure their routine is just absolutely perfect
mm-hmm.
and making sure that they do things right. I don't know how that's going to work in pole dancing.
Oh, no.
I don't really know the stipulations
yeah.
for pole dancing. I know a lot of guys seem to enjoy pole dancing.
Yeah.
It'll probably get great ratings on TV.
Yeah.
If you're going to make pole dancing a sport, you might as well make strippers athletes.
I mean, are they going to judge the women based on their looks?
Now, okay, here's the stipulations. Just a little bit that I read about it on the International Pole Sports Federation.
Yeah, the little
Federation.
Bit you read about it.
I didn't read much. On the International Pole Sports website, they said that it's not going to be erotic. I don't know how that's going to happen with
exactly.
women dancing around a
I
pole.
I think women yeah. dancing on poles is erotic.
Yeah, no matter what you do. But they're supposedly going to wear a lot more clothing, obviously. They're not going to strip.
Are they going to do pull-ups on the pole or something?
Yeah, they're going to do a lot of... It's going to be more... It's pretty much going to be gymnastics for the pole.
Yeah.
That's about it. It's not going to... It's supposed
to
not be erotic.
So they're just going to turn the pole from horizontal to vertical and
yeah.
dance on it.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, you might as well tell strippers, hey, just train. Start training.
Yeah.
Because
I mean, that just seems so ridiculous.
That
to
and
me.
Power walking are the two sports that I just...
But hey, they
really
talk about it now. At least it gets people talking about the Olympics
yeah.
while the Olympics aren't
and
going on.
It honestly would be a huge rating boost for the Olympics. Now,
it would.
They're already one of the biggest events
ever
across the world, but... That would be a huge
I
boost.
Feel like it would be huge on the first couple Olympics.
And then it
would die
out.
Down because
yeah.
people would be like, this is stupid.
Yeah.
yeah.
It's
I don't
like
care
watching
about
power
this.
Walking.
Until they start stripping, I'm not going to watch
yeah.
this.
Yeah. For real. That's what I'm going
to
say.
I mean, there's a lot of things they can do in the Olympics to increase ratings. I mean,
mm-hmm.
they could somehow work American football in there and let America kill everybody, even
yeah,
though that's
forever.
Not... That's not how the Olympics are supposed to be. There has to be a competitive
yeah.
feel
I kind of get
it.
Bored with basketball, honestly.
Yeah,
yeah and,
right
and,
now.
That's, and basketball's even been discussed.
Yeah.
It, but Spain is still at a high enough level where they can compete. Argentina's
yeah.
at
yeah.
a high enough level. And basketball's only spreading in its popularity.
Yeah.
So I think it will continue because the second, third, fourth, fifth are so competitive. And
with each other.
While yeah. second place might lose to the U.S. by 20, that's still only 20, sometimes 15. So it's still close there enough
mm-hmm.
where there's
where
a there's
it.
A chance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, if America played the rest of the world in our version of football,
oh,
it
yeah.
would be a massacre just because those countries don't train for that.
Yeah.
They don't have the type of athletes we have, and
yeah.
it would be ridiculous. That's why they don't have it. I don't understand
funny,
baseball.
Yeah.
I don't understand why baseball is not because baseball is very very popular over
and,
in
yeah. honestly,
other countries in Japan and
honestly, America has lost. A lot of the last few times they've played against the world.
Yeah, I mean,
we
Canada's
call ourselves,
very good.
Yeah.
Think about how big the Dominican Republic would be.
Japan.
Yeah, Japan is awesome.
It.
Japan whoops our butt. In the like, they still have the World Series for like under 25.
Yeah.
They kill us every year.
So there's a
year.
Definitely a competitive field for
yeah.
that, especially.
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, but the one problem is, I don't think we thought about this, it's in the summer.
Yeah.
So you're going to have most people playing in the MLB and baseball's every day.
Yeah.
So I think it would be almost impossible for them to to make that happen.
That is true. Well, let's take a break and come back in just a few minutes and talk Rangers baseball. Then we'll talk Cowboys and Texans. And in the show, with the 50-yard wide, 50-yard long Lions logo here at Memorial Stadium. This is KETR's Locker Room.
Everyone, this is Pat Mitchell-Worley, and coming up next time on Bill Street Caravan, we have Eric Gills at the Levitt Shell in Memphis, Tennessee. Then we'll hop on the legendary Rhythm and Blues Cruise and hear from Johnny Taylor's little girl, Tasha Taylor. That plus our feature host, Barbara Ching, continues her look at country music and the blues. That's all coming up next time on Bill Street Caravan.
Immediately following Up Next, Friday night at midnight on 88.9 KETR.
From barbecuing and bird watching to walking and working in the garden, public radio listeners enjoy spending time outside. If your company or business can enhance their enjoyment of outdoor activities, you should consider program sponsorships on KETR. For more information, call Sherry at 903-513-9684.
All right, we are back here on KETR's Locker Room. Cooper Welch, Taylor Phelps, and Jordan Davis. We got a lot more to talk about on the show today, including the Texas Rangers. Now, first, I want to talk about our big centerpiece trade for Matt Garza. Now, he did pretty well for the Rangers over his first few starts. He's had six now. It doesn't seem like it's been that long, but he's had six starts. And overall, he's got a 4.32 ERA in his six starts with the Rangers. Now, that's pretty high, but the Rangers are 5-1 in his last six starts. Now, last night, he pitched six innings of one-run ball, but then allowed four more earned runs in the seventh inning. So, what do you guys think about Matt Garza so far?
So far, I mean, 4.32 ERA, that's not good.
He's pitching terribly, yeah. And I was at one of these games.
Yeah.
And, you know, before the game, I'm pumped up. I'm like, okay, I get to see Matt Garza pitch. This will be awesome. You know, between him and you, those are the two you want to be at when you're going to see the Rangers.
Yeah.
And, but he just gives up so much stuff that he lucks out so many times. And even at the game I was at, we're down, he goes out, and we come back. It's like our bats are batting us back in, because if you notice, we're scoring a lot of runs late in the game.
On every single
one
of
those games.
We're
usually down, and usually in the ninth inning, we've scored, I can't even count how many runs we've scored in the ninth inning. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So I really think Matt Garza is just lucking out, because we're having good in the bullpen coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Tanner Shepherd is doing really well, and Joe Nathan's just, might as well chalk it up a win when he comes in.
Yeah.
So I think Matt Garza is lucking out, and he's got to get his act together, because this is not going to work in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
In the playoffs, it's not going to be the same thing, because once you're down 7-0 in the playoffs and the other bullpen's great too, we're not going to be able to bat ourselves back in like we've been doing in the regular season. So this is a problem.
Yeah.
I think it's a big problem.
Now, you got to remember that in this last one, which really raised his ERA, by the way, to because he got five total. He had six innings of just one-run ball. He'd only allowed one run through the first six innings, and then he only pitched the seventh inning because they wanted to keep their bullpen for tonight when some guy is, I think, Blackley or something like that, is making his debut for the Rangers. So they wanted to keep the bullpen just in case.
That's understandable.
Yeah.
But it seems like it's just he starts off pretty good, but he can't finish. And with any sport, if you can start off good, but if you can't finish, can't get a job.
And if you look at the numbers, it looks like you said, it looks better. Yeah. Oh, wow, six innings of one-run ball.
Yeah.
But have we noticed how well our fielding has been in those six innings?
Yeah.
When he's on the mound, where he's still allowing people on base, and that's how you score. You get that first man on base, you're going to eventually score, and that's why his ERA, because over time, the averages are going to reveal really how you're doing.
Yeah.
And 4.32, even though he had a much worse game last game than he has had, and it did raise his ERA.
Yeah.
I mean, the fielding's been well enough to where wow, there's a man on third. We lucked out that inning. He's lucking out basically.
Yeah.
And eventually it's going to catch up to him. And that's what we're seeing here.
I agree. Do you think it's him playing at Ranger Stadium, though? You think that's the problem?
No.
I mean, we saw when he was with the Cubs that he was like 6-0 with an ERA barely over one. And that's because the Cubs have a pitcher's ballpark, you know?
Honestly, I don't. The pitcher's
there's a lot
ballpark,
less pressure too when you're on the Cubs.
And I got the mound and the plate is still the same distance at every ballpark.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, I don't think that's a good excuse. But I think, like you said, like playing for the Cubs, nobody's paying attention. It's easier to pitch. playing for the Rangers when everybody's watching and you're in a playoff race.
Yeah.
So I mean, pitchers have to pitch. Period. And the Rangers was looking at Garza to be like somebody behind Darvish that could really help them get over the level, but
To be honest, watching Garza, you know, there's a lot that goes into sports just besides numbers. And when you watch him, he's got a hot head. I mean, he's fun to watch because of that, but he also is scary to watch as a Rangers fan of what's he going to do next.
Yeah,
you know, what's he going to give up next? And I don't know if it works to his advantage or disadvantage as much. I got to see over a few more games.
Yeah,
but right now it's looking like there's some mental issues going on with his game. And like you said, it's the same distance.
Same distance.
I wasn't too impressed with him when he got on Twitter and had it out with somebody's wife.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's just
that was
unnecessary stuff. And to be honest, I didn't pay much attention to Matt Garza because he was on the Cubs.
Yeah.
And when we got him, you know, I was excited about it. But maybe this is something that is just him and we as Rangers fans, it's hard to keep up with the whole league in baseball, and especially when you're trying to look at other sports too. And now we're seeing this side of Matt Garza, and it might be his turmoil. It might end up self-destructing.
Well, one more question on Matt Garza before we move on to other Rangers talk. You think he sticks around with the Rangers after this season, whether or not they make it to the playoffs?
I thought originally at first, yes, and then now as I see this start to unfold, it starts to look like no.
Okay.
But I mean, I have no idea. He's one of those people who's so crazy that I don't know what he's going to do.
Like Ron Artest?
He's like Meta World Peace, but a little more normal.
Rashid.
Like you could interview him and be like, it's like a Rasheed Wallace movie or something.
Like
where you're like, I don't know what this guy's going to do. He might love the Rangers or he might hate the Rangers. I got no clue.
Yeah.
But every team needs that one crazy person on their
team.
That's
true.
Every team needs it.
Until they throw chairs into the
stands.
He's
very entertaining. I mean, I give him that. He's extremely entertaining to watch. Yeah. I'd rather watch him than watch Yu Darvish, even though Yu Darvish is much better as a pitcher.
And speaking of Ron Artest and craziness or Meta World Peace, whatever he wants to call himself, that's going to be interesting because him and J.R. Smith are now on the Knicks. That will be a team to
watch. That'll be a great team to watch.
They're going
to
be terrible basketball.
Entertaining team to watch.
Him and Carmelo Anthony should never play on the same court.
Never.
But it'll be really fun to watch.
Oh, yeah. It'll be the most fun.
All three of them will be in arguments and probably pulling out guns.
Mamari and Iman in the mix. You just have a great, great, great entertainment.
It's going to be hilarious. People are going to hate that team, but it's going to be fun to watch. Anyway, back to baseball. Rangers offense has been pretty ridiculous over the past 16 games. They've averaged 6.25 runs per game. Now they've had games with 8, 10, 15, and 16 runs scored, and a couple of those were Garza games, by the way. And they've only lost 4 out of those 16. They're 12-4. And two of those losses were when they only had one run scored. So what do you think's going on with this team?
It's baseball.
Just
like,
baseball?
Like we said earlier in the show.
It's
ups and downs. Like when it's going good, it's going good. I told you a couple of days ago, Rios, that addition of Rios really helped the Rangers.
Yeah.
Like, because he's hitting solid, and they needed a solid bat.
Yeah.
So, I mean, ever since they got him, the bats just seem to go up. But once again, you don't know, because when it gets to playoff time, you don't know if these players are going to swing the bat like this.
Yeah. Well, the Rangers have also been able to just get people on base, and then their speed is so – they're so fast.
Yeah.
They're stealing without a problem.
Yeah.
It's like basically half of the lineup, if they get on first – you might as well let them walk to second because they're going to get there anyway.
We've had several score on wild pitches, or I think, who was it? Jerks and Profar even tried to steal home. Like that.
Yeah, I mean, our speed
impressive.
On the base, and especially with, like,
impressive.
Rios, like, our additions, we're just fast. We're so fast. And that's, I think that's something that we're starting to, and we knew it all along, but now we're really starting to, hey, we're going to bring it at
you. The only guys you don't want to see try to run are Adrian Beltre and Przinski.
No.
And I guess you could throw Lance in there. But
yeah.
Those guys are
hitting the power guys,
anyway.
The other guys, yeah, they're our power guys anyway. Yeah. They're hitting home runs or they're not getting on base.
The way the lineup is done right now, as you and I know from reading that baseball book, the first guy is always the one that just wants to get on base.
Yep.
The second guy is usually the one that advances the runner. And the third batter, the one that is usually Adrian Beltre now, is the guy that hits the home runs.
And we can almost eliminate that second position.
Yeah.
Because when we're looking at it now, the Rangers are working it to where we get a man on base, we steal second.
Yeah.
That second man is either batting him in or getting to third.
Yeah.
So then we end up with first and third. It's just the speed has changed our game so much.
Yeah,
and it's such a help. That's why we're scoring 8, 10, 15, and 16. We could half all of those without the speed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
And I mean, this might be a new formula the Rangers have came up with because speed can kill.
It's true.
Bottom
line.
True.
Well, let's finish off the Rangers talk with, could this be the team to win the World Series? Now, I know they've been twice, but what do you guys
think?
Honestly,
they've been so close.
Yeah.
So close.
I really don't know how good our pitching situation is, and that's what we know will win a World Series.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know Yu Darvish is great. I mean, the guy is...
Although he's not playoff tested yet.
Yeah. He's not playoff tested, but he's one of the best pitchers in baseball, and that's a fact. And anyone will tell you that pretty much. Garza, if he had a turnaround, I could see him being a really good asset. If Garza's pitching well, we have a chance.
I think
without Garza, we don't.
I think if Garza is pitching away from the Ranger Stadium, I think I'd
give
him a chance.
Do you think Joe Nathan will get more pitches in the playoffs?
He'll be maybe a two innings guy, but he's usually going to be the closer. I think the bullpen is not something we have to worry about.
I don't think so. I think our bullpen's well. It's our starting pitching that's not very good.
Yeah.
And I really think we're seeing, we're batting awesome right now.
Yeah.
6.25, and people are like, man, we're going to make it back to the World Series or whatever.
Yeah.
And East Texas voice.
About who's hurt, though. Like, we lost Matt Harrison for the year. We lost Colby Lewis for the year. We may lose Neftali Feliz for the year. Gondo's hurt again.
That's what we talk about. Our starting pitching is bad, and these runs are not going to translate to the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
They're just not. Now we might be better off than we were, but you're still going to face such good pitching in the playoffs that you're going to have to do your pitching has to be good. Your starting pitchers have to be good to win a World Series,
because once you get to the playoffs, the pitching increases.
Yeah,
like you're going to see a lot of 1-0 games, maybe 2-1. Like, it's going to be pitching battles in this playoffs.
Yeah, for sure.
And like we're saying, getting people on base, the speed is not going to be as big of a factor because we're not going to get as many people on base.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we might get that one guy, and maybe Beltre can hit him in, and Przinski can somehow smack a home run. But other than those guys, we don't have a bunch of home run hitters.
Yeah.
We don't have one guy that we focus on. We don't have David Ortiz like Boston had in the playoffs and stuff like that. We just have a lot of good – we have a lot of quality guys, and we don't really have many weaknesses.
Yeah, that's
true. But we don't really have super strengths either.
Yeah, I agree with you. Well, let's move on to the Cowboys talk and a little bit of Texans talk as well. First, Alex Taney, who is the third-string quarterback on the Cowboys and could not even make the roster – if the cuts go the way they're supposed to go, had a pretty good second game against the Arizona Cardinals when everyone else was pretty much crapping on themselves. should you guys think he should get the backup job over Kyle Orton?
No.
Okay.
No. Kyle Orton is a veteran. You want a veteran to go behind Romo, because if Taney does make the roster and if Romo happens to get hurt, let's not say that. Do you really want Alex Taney to be your quarterback?
Yeah, I don't know. What do you think, Taylor?
I don't really want Kyle Orton either.
True.
I mean, to be honest, like, I would rather have Alex Tanny just because I understand the Kyle Orton thing. Yeah. I understand why I'd want a veteran guy who can watch and look out. But one thing we know is Tony Romo doesn't need any more pressure. Yeah. And to have that veteran guy there is not going to be good when he throws three interceptions in a game, which will happen. It will happen.
Of course.
And we might win that game, but he's still going to be talked about. He's the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. So I don't want the Kyle Orton talk. And if Alex Tanny's the backup, there's no question that if Tony Romo throws three interceptions, there's no way Tanny's coming in for him.
Is it? Yeah.
And so I almost like the younger guy. Now, Kyle Orton could be a valuable asset in helping Tony Romo because he's been there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like you say, he's a veteran. He can help out where Tanny doesn't have the same experience.
Right.
But I think for our situation, Tanny's probably a better fit.
Okay.
I mean, to be honest.
Because he looked like the gunslinger type.
Yeah. And like you said, he had an interception the last game. If he probably doesn't have that interception, we're looking at like, wow, this guy had an awesome preseason game.
Let's talk about his stats. He went against the Cardinals. He went 14 for 19 for 136 yards, a touchdown, and an interception. On the scoring drive, when they scored a touchdown, he was 10 for 10. He completed every one of the passes on that drive. That's pretty insane. Now, Orton in the same game threw two interceptions, and Romo threw two interceptions, but those weren't really Romo's fault.
But you gotta understand though, like Tanny's going against second and third string and some free agents.
Fourth string. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, he's not going against a first team defense.
Yeah.
Now, if he was doing this against Patrick Peterson in the first team defense of the Cardinals, then we can be like, okay, he's pretty good. But you gotta understand, like, he's going against like Tyrann Mathieu, college players and stuff like that. So preseason, of course, if you have a stellar game in the preseason, it's like, okay, but can you do it in the regular season against somebody's number one defense consistently? That's the question.
Right. And that brings up a pretty good point about someone else that's had a really good preseason who talked to you in the library.
Oh, my God.
Brandon Whedon a pretty good preseason. He's become the starter of the Cleveland Browns again, and he has not thrown a pick yet in the preseason.
You know, when this guy came to me and told me that he told me that I was wrong about Ryan Tannehill.
Okay.
He said that I was completely off and I was crazy.
Right.
But when he said Brandon Whedon could be a top 10 quarterback, that's like basically telling me Jay Cutler could be a top 10 quarterback. Like, I just looked at him, and at first, I just couldn't believe it. And I said, well, are you a Cleveland fan?
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm not a Cleveland fan. I'm a football fan.
Right.
So I'm like, if you're a football fan, you understand that Brandon Whedon was the oldest rookie in NFL history, first of all.
And he's not very good.
Yes, and he has Jason Campbell as his backup. So, of course, he will win the backup, I mean the starting job, but it's Cleveland. Like, you mean to tell me Tannehill's not going to be better than Whedon? Kevin Cobb is better than Whedon.
Yeah.
He plays for the Bills.
And everyone we're talking about, to be honest, is irrelevant because none of these teams are going to make the playoffs anyway.
Yeah, none of them.
So, even Alex Tanny, I think, could step into those roles.
He could play for Cleveland
And be just like the guys there right now because they're not good anyway.
Yeah. I agree.
Oh, my God. Just average.
Well, let's talk some other Cowboys stuff. Terrence Williams, who we drafted this year, ran the wrong route against Arizona, but he was open by almost 50 yards because of it.
It played into his favor.
Yeah. In that play, Romo missed him by several yards. Do you think it's on Tony Romo, or do you think it's on Terrence Williams?
I mean, you really can't put it on Romo because he probably was picking him to run a certain route. And I mean, receivers,
I don't think you can put it on either one of them. I mean, like you're saying, I don't think it's anybody's. I mean, obviously, Terrence Williams did the wrong thing, so that's his fault for the wrong route. But as far as the throw, that's irrelevant because it wasn't he wasn't running the right route.
Right.
And so Romo can, even if he was throwing the ball to him exactly where he thought he was going to be, he can always say that that's not what he was doing. Like,
right.
So that's without question of whether or not Romo was doing the right thing. So I think that you don't really blame anybody on that. You just say, well, we missed it. Let's move on.
It's preseason.
And Terrence Williams a rookie.
Yeah.
So, I mean, let's not think too much into this guy running the wrong route either because we've seen how many times Miles Austin's run the wrong route.
Oh, yeah.
And Dez Bryant as well, and they have experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if he would have caught it and threw it to him and scored, we wouldn't be talking about that.
No.
You're right. We'd be like, yeah, go Terrence Williams. He's awesome. He's
Most
great.
People would have even been like, what wrong route? But I didn't see anything. Okay. Well, what about the 5 turnovers against Arizona? What do you guys think about here? We didn't get any turnovers, by the way. Just, and that's what this whole Tampa 2 defense was supposed to do.
Yeah. And we're talking preseason also here. So. And I got to be honest, I do not watch any preseason games.
All right.
And I have reasons because, first of all, I don't want to weigh too much into them.
Yeah.
I never want to get ahead of myself and say things that I know I'm going to regret because that's the biggest thing here. It's all recorded. So anything I say here, you guys can bring up later and be like, hey, you remember when you said that Ryan Tannehill was going to be good?
Yeah.
And that's what we do with Jordan here. And,
the season has not started yet.
And but, yeah, weighing too much into preseason games I think is a big problem with – Even coaches, I think they start hearing things like,
"Yeah,
man, this guy's not doing good in preseason. Let's wait it out." And I love what Chip Kelly did in already naming Michael Vick the starter and being like, you know, this is the guy we're going with.
Yeah.
We're moving forward. That he's the starter for the season. Yeah. This isn't a one-game thing. And I think that's what you got to do. You got to determine in those first few weeks who is your starters and then stick with them at least for the first game.
Yeah.
Because – I mean, preseason games, they're not going to be as focused. There's not as much scouting. It's like scrimmages, basically.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. It's try to see where your team is.
It's honestly, like, just the point where people make the roster.
That's
like,
pretty much what it is.
Yeah.
You're just trying to see people who's trying to make a roster.
Now, after the first game, I'm going to weigh in all kinds of – if we don't get a turnover in the first game
– That's a problem.
The Cowboys don't. I'm going to say, like, wow, I'm going to have all these reasons why we didn't.
Yeah.
I'm going to have all these things that we need to do differently. But until that time comes, I'm not going to weigh too much into how much turnovers we had against Arizona in a preseason game.
Yeah.
It's preseason.
All right. Well, two more questions on NFL stuff, and then we'll move on into college and in the show. Could Dez Bryant become the best wide receiver in football this year? Now, they're talking about him eclipsing Calvin Johnson, who's the reigning champ.
I don't know.
What do you guys think?
I don't know. Calvin Johnson's big.
Mm-hmm.
He's fast. He catches everything. Dez Bryant has a problem with dropping passes.
That's true.
Now, it's been his good moments where, I mean, he's an athlete. He's a freak athlete. Like,
yeah.
He can do a lot of things for you, but to be the best in something, I'm looking at attitude-wise. I'm looking at how he can conduct his attitude on and off the field.
Right.
Dez can't stay out of trouble for nothing. So you can't be the best at something if you always being suspended, always in trouble. And, I mean, he just got to have the right mentality. Now, right. I don't know, because Calvin Johnson, I mean, it's Megatron. He's Megatron for a reason. And there's other pretty good receivers like Brandon Marshall, Wes Welker. So to say Dez is going to be the best, I mean, he's really going to have to score 20 touchdowns for me to say, yeah, he's the best.
Yeah, I agree.
He can't be the best for two reasons.
Okay.
One, you got to beat the best to be. You got to beat the best to be the best,
exactly.
And he can't be Megatron.
Exactly.
So regardless of anything else, he's not going to be the best. Second, Tony Romo shares the ball too much.
Yeah.
Jason Witten, between Dez Bryant, Jason Witten, Miles Austin, Terrence Williams now coming in. We got a new tight end coming
Gavin
in
Escobar.
Too.
Yeah.
He shares the ball too much, and he's too good at it.
Yeah.
For Dez Bryant to be the focal point, and Dez Bryant's going to be in double coverage all the time.
A lot.
So, I mean, Calvin Johnson is just better, and Tony Romo shares the ball too much.
Yeah. I mean, Calvin Johnson is the only receiver on his team.
The only two reasons you need why he's not going to be the best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not that he's not going to be good, it's that he's not going to be better than Calvin Johnson.
Right.
That's a big task.
Well, one more question for you, and this is a Texans question, not a Cowboys question.
A little farther south.
Defensive end Antonio Smith swung a helmet at Miami's Richie Incognito. Now, to get this guy's name is Incognito. Should he be fined for this or suspended?
Not at all. Like, it's like watching the Bad News Bears play and go at it. I mean, with a last name like that, come on, man.
Incognito. Yeah.
And then the way it happened, like the
he pulled Incognito's own helmet off him and swung it at his face. That is ridiculous.
I gotta say he should be both fined and suspended. I mean that's just blatant disregard for the rules of the game. I mean you can't do that.
Well,
and I mean why not a fine and suspension?
Right.
Anybody else would get it.
Yeah,
real quick.
Well, let's talk about some of the history between these two guys. Now Smith's already been fined for doing something else to Incognito. He they faced each other in 2012. And Smith kicked him because Incognito wouldn't let go of him. He was holding on to him. The refs weren't throwing any flags. Pretty obvious, blatant holding penalty, and Smith kicked him. So he was fined for that. And now in this one, Smith claims that Incognito was giving him a face mask, was like not letting go of his face mask, and so he did that to get him to let go. So do you think this is just like being caught at the wrong time?
No, they just don't like each other. It seems like every time they play against each other, they have an altercation. So clearly, it's like, okay, these two just don't like each other.
I just look at Antonio Smith, I'm like, what an idiot. Like, Incognito's being Incognito. Yeah. He's doing what he should do. He's grabbing a face mask, he's holding. If you want to get back at someone, do it within the confines of the game.
Yeah.
And try not to hurt your team. I don't care how many cameras are pointed at you. In football, there's so much going on. You can do some dirty stuff and get away with it.
Yeah.
You can get back at people. You don't grab someone's helmet and swing it at them. Yeah. I mean, everybody sees that. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, Antonio Smith, get your act together. This isn't peewee anymore.
Like, dirtiest, linemen are always dirty. They're the dirtiest player on the team.
That's true.
So you should know that off top. If you're a defensive lineman, offensive linemen are going to cheat.
Yeah.
So for you to lose your cool like this and hit him with his own helmet, it's like, come on, man. Yeah. Come on, man.
It's when you really think about it, it's super bad that he did this, but it's also kind of funny.
It is, because like, you wouldn't expect to see nobody do that in a football game.
I can understand swinging your own helmet, but taking someone else's
fight.
Helmet?
You remember the fight Andre Johnson had? I can understand that.
That was hilarious,
I did not see that coming, but to see somebody take somebody's helmet off and then swing it at them, it's like, okay, first of all, you're ignorant.
Yeah.
Second of all, you don't
That's funny.
Care. Like, you do not care.
Yeah. All right, well, let's end the show with another pretty out there topic. The A&M Commerce Lions have a new midfield logo. Now, we would have talked about this, you know, last week or the week before.
We're a little late behind on it.
Yeah.
But it's still relevant.
It's still relevant.
Very relevant.
I just want to ask your guys' opinion on it. What do you think of the big 50-yard logo?
It's something new, and Commerce needs something different to forget about this 3-year history we have had. Like, if this is going to help them get wins, I'm down for it. Like,
anything
that's going to help us get more than one win, I'm down for it. And it's drawing a lot of excitement, which is something that we needed, because the football program haven't had that much excitement since, well,
the 70s.
Harvey Martin, yes. So, I mean, I like the new feel. Like, it's something that's new. It gets the players excited. Mm-hmm. But the only way I'm going to keep liking it if we can win. If we start losing, it's just another distraction.
I think it's awesome. Like, just for the program and for the school to get that national recognition was more than anything you could ask for. And all they did was put a big, big logo on the field and did something that no one else has done. If you're at a small school, why not?
Yeah.
Why not do it? I mean, it's not like we have a tradition of not having giant logos on the field. So,
well, I mean, we do because we never had it.
Exactly. But we're breaking tradition for something that wasn't even important. And it's gained, I mean, national news. It's been on Sports Nation, on ESPN. Mm-hmm. I mean, CBS has covered it and everything like that. So it's definitely awesome for a smaller school like us, and especially one that hasn't been as successful as they would have liked.
Yeah.
The only thing I fear, though, is what happens when people want to come here and, you know, beat us on our own field, and that could be some motivation. But it's not any more motivation than winning a conference game anyway. So I think only positives for this move.
The only negative I see, and they've already rolled out against this, is teams that happen to wear a yellow uniform, like in our conference, Angelo State and Texas A&M Kingsville. But they told them to not wear their yellow uniforms there. So we should be okay.
I mean,
hopefully. Forgot.
Boise State, you have a big yellow tiger, and then you have a line. I mean, you have yellow jerseys, so who are you going to see? And we don't need any more interceptions or turnovers than we had.
Yeah, we don't need anybody sneaking around on their bellies on the line to act like they're not on the field.
Yeah. All right, well, just a few more.
Oh, here's a question, though.
Okay, go.
What about the flags?
Yeah.
I'm really curious to see how well the officials are able to,
that will be hard.
Build flags and stuff.
That'll be hard.
When I was at a high school game this last fall, and one of the teams had yellow towels, so many people got confused and thought they were yellow flags. So, I don't know. Maybe they'll disappear And no one
will
know.
They'll be like, where did my flag go? Because they throw it up and they're still watching the game to make sure that nothing else happens.
Yeah.
So they're going to be like, where the heck? Where?
Well, and then a lot of players aren't even going to know there's a penalty. Like,
they're going to be like, yeah, touchdown.
Yeah.
No, you held for 30 yards.
No, that was a holding penalty.
30 yards.
You held for 30 yards.
All right. Well, just two more questions for us before we head out. First, could the Longhorns possibly be back this year? Like, not even championship winning Longhorns, but just 10 win season Longhorns.
I'm gonna go ahead and say no, and no Mac Brown. I think Mac Brown's on the way out, even though he's won a national championship. And if they don't fire him, he leaves anyway, because I just don't know. There's a lot of questions in Texas.
Yeah,
I say no, but Mac Brown is the highest paid person in Texas.
He's the highest paid state employee.
Yeah, so, I mean, just because he's Mac Brown, Texas might keep him another year or two.
Right.
But they're losing too many games, and Longhorn fans are not used to Texas losing.
And they especially don't like the A&M situation.
Oh, God. They have to win, because A&M is like big brother now.
It's looking bad.
It's looking real bad.
Yeah. All right. Well, last question then about the Aggies. Do you think they compete in the SEC this year if Johnny Manziel is out?
You got to include Johnny Manziel on the show. And I'm thinking, if he's gone, no.
Okay.
I think they'll still be good, but they're not national championship
good. Let me tell you something. This is going to go to everybody that's listening to this show.
All right, go.
If Johnny Manziel does not play against Alabama, A&M will be done, because Alabama is still mad.
So you
think
if A&M plays with Johnny Manziel, they beat Alabama?
I think they can beat him again. Why not?
So you're saying right now, with Johnny Manziel they win, without him they lose?
Without Johnny Manziel, they'll be embarrassed.
Okay.
Because you think Nick Saban is not reminding them of that? Like, this freshman came here and beat y'all. He won the Heisman, and now he's always on Sports Center. They're not even talking about us no more. They said Ohio State can beat Alabama.
I think they're going to lose even if Johnny plays.
No. They're too big. They're too mad. No. They're going to kill him if Johnny Manziel's not playing. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, let's put that down on the board then on our –
put that down next
our
to my
imaginary
tail.
Board.
Our imaginary board. We got Jordan picking Alabama if Johnny's not
playing.
If he's
out.
I think Alabama wins no matter what.
All right.
That's what I'm saying.
But it'll be more interesting if Johnny did not play.
Yeah.
Because that quarterback, you got to think about it, the quarterback behind Johnny, no experience. So you put him in there, their eyes are going to get big, like, wow, he can't run like Johnny. Yeah. Let's blitz him. And it's going to be like, oh, my God.
It's going to be different.
Yeah. All right, well, I think that's going to about do it for us on today's show. Got a lot coming up on the Friday show. We're hoping that we can get some local athlete to come talk to us before the football season starts off. Make sure you stay tuned to the website. We get a lot more football coverage coming out. Otherwise, just get with us. We want to do the fantasy football thing. We put it on our Twitter and Facebook. If you're interested in playing fantasy football with myself, Jordan, and Taylor, then sign up. Just message us, whatever you need to do, and we would love to play.
Be ready to lose.
Jordan's going to take it down, apparently.
Taking Tannehill. All right. Watch him work.
Starting quarterback for Jordan's team is Ryan Tannehill. All right. Well, that's going to do it for us this week. I'm Cooper Welch.
I'm Taylor Phelps.
And I'm Jordan Davis.
And this is KETR's Locker Room. Thank you.